This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition with Lynn and Uma. We are heading now into today's episode of Popit Popit Parliament. Producer Tasha Fusil is with us in the studio. Tasha, first things first, I heard that there was finally, yay, feeding us, there was some commotion in Dewan Rakyat today.
Yes, you heard right. And what else would it be about if not the ICERT, which is the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination. Senator Waida Murthy, who's also the minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of unity, was asked by Kepala Batas MP Rizal Merican whether or not ratifying the ICERT would mean that there's a need for an eventual end date to the provisions in Article 153 in the Federal Constitution, which of course pertains to the special position of Malays and natives of Sabah and Sarawak. This is because the ICERT has a provision which states that any positive discrimination must be finite and not continue beyond the point it achieves its objectives.
Right. And what was Waida Murthy's response?
He insisted that there would be no such end date to Article 153. The heckling began then when Waida Murthy referred to his personal
opinion on the matter,
yeah. Where opposition lawmakers said that personal opinions have no place in parliamentary debate. They also brought up a 10-year-old video of Waida Murthy speaking on Dutch TV about ethnic minorities in Malaysia, particularly Malaysian Indians who were discriminated against. Here you can see that the speaker, Arif Muhammad Yusof's attempts, she tried to end it, but to no avail.
Mengapa di Netherlands yang berhormat cakap lain? Mengatakan kita ada diskriminasi, runtuh kuil paksa masuk Islam. Dan dalam Dewan yang mulia ini yang berhormat mengatakan pula kita tidak ada diskriminasi. Ini double standard. You kena betul-betul penerang you.
Have to qualify.
Tak layak Menteri Perpaduan.
Janganlah cakap lain. Jangan waktu di luar. You menghina negara kita. You menghina Islam. Kemudian dalam Dewan ini you nak jadi hero pula.
Ini bukan berhormat. Menteri Perpaduan. Tak, ini Menteri Perpaduan.
Satu persatu eh. Tanjung Karang itu saja. Berikan kesempatan kepada menteri untuk menjawab. Ya. Silakan menteri.
Sebagaimana yang saya nyatakan tadi,
mana ada tuduhan kita paksa masuk Islam. You cakap itu.
Senaraikan kuil ya di rob.
Pasal salah saya tak beri pun kesempatan untuk bangun dan mencelah. Bersabarlah bagi menteri menjawab dulu. Ya, silakan.
Ini betul. Itu yang bersokok-sokok sana tu, Melayu-melayu sana tu apa jadi? Ha, PKR
Kalau yang berhormat meneliti di atas tu ramai penuntut-penuntut pelajar-pelajar. Inikah standard? Bagi menteri menjawab, silakan.
Dah kita bangun ni.
And just as that kerfuffle was showing some signs of abating, Waida Murthy said that the Malaysian Indians were indeed discriminated against, which sort of added more fuel, and the shouting match sort of erupted again.
Memang peruntukan undang-undang negara kita tidak mengamalkan diskriminasi. Tetapi kerajaan yang terdahulu telah mendiskriminasi masyarakat India menyebabkan saya...
Mana bukti yang buat? Mana bukti?
Saya akan kemukakan.
So at this point, you could see a number of the lawmakers standing up to participate in the shouting match. And then when you fast forward several minutes, this is what happened.
Resist!
Sila duduk. Sila duduk, lenggong. Sampai bila kita nak teriak-teriak begini?
And we elect these clowns to be our lawmakers? I mean, that's embarrassing.
I am stressed. That is a lot of shouting.
And that's not all. Kuban Korean MP Tuan Ibrahim Tuan Man then said that Waida Murthy is not capable of holding the position of being the minister in charge of unity and requested for the PM himself to address the issue.
So how long did this whole argument last for?
A good 20 minutes.
What?
That is so long. That is ridiculous.
It is. And it only sort of came to an end when Waidamurthy was shouting to the speaker above all the other heckling voices that he would submit a written response on the issue.
Based on something that he'd said 10 years ago on Dutch TV. All right, great.
Based on something that also rooted in fact. I mean, obviously he didn't have the space to give that statement, but if you look at our positive discrimination policies in the context of everything else, yes, it is discriminatory.
See, that's the thing. I'm wondering where the cries of racist were coming from and who they were directed at exactly. Like, what
No, it was from BN about themselves.
That's the thing. I don't understand how the term is being used. I feel like there's a fundamental misunderstanding of the word if you're just going to be saying it every time someone brings up something about race. You know, you can't just start shouting racist and win. Anyway, we'll be talking more about ICERT later in the show. You can, of course, chime in to let us know what you think. Moving on to other matters, though, what else happened today?
So Communications and Multimedia Minister Gobind Singh Deo spoke to reporters about the conviction of graphic artist Fahmi Reza under the Communications and Multimedia Act 1998. So this happened just last week. The Ipoh High Court had upheld the conviction with Fahmi getting an imposed... I mean, with Fahmi, he was imposed a fine of 10,000 ringgit for publishing a clown caricature of former PM Najib Razak. Mm-hmm. Govind said that he would meet up with the Attorney General, Tommy Thomas, to discuss the issue.
All right. So did he mention anything new or any updates on amending the Communications and Multimedia Act?
He did. And as you may know, this has been called for by free speech activists, particularly with regards to Section 211 on prohibition on provision of offensive content and Section 233 on improper use of network facilities. That one, yeah. Back in September, Gobind had said that the CMA would be tightened as some of the provisions were said to be too broad. Today, he also said that a moratorium on the relevant sections is already in place pending the amendments. But the question is whether or not it extends to already convicted cases.
My position is that because we are moving to amend the CMA, there is a moratorium. But of course, the moratorium... There is a view that moratoriums would only apply to cases which are pending. It means that cases we are still ongoing, and of course cases where people are going to be charged, but not for cases where there already are convictions and so forth. I'll meet the AG and I'll discuss it with him. The CMA, we proposed to make amendments to. We were supposed to table it this time, this session of the day one. Rakyat, but we have since consulted Bar Council, Suhakam, and I think at the end of the day, there have been views that have been put back to us. So we are reviewing some of the provisions, some of the suggested amendments, and of course we're taking into account some of the views that have been put forward. So we're trying to get it done as soon as possible, and of course in this set of suggestions that have been put up to us, we're also consulting the police. So hopefully we'll be able to get something done. I'm not sure if we can do it in this session because this session is running short. If not this session, then we're looking at March next year.
Gobind also said that there's the view that legislation should be streamlined in the penal code because there are already similar provisions under the code.
Of course, we understand that at the end of the day, there is a need for legislation. But one of the views that have been put forward is that perhaps the legislation should be streamlined in the penal code. So what we may see happening is a repeal of 233, but then the penal code strengthened to include provisions which are not already there, which were in 233. As you know, we have constantly maintained that there are already provisions in the penal code that deal with the same provisions under 233. So I think the question now is when you have the CMA and you have the penal code, there are two different investigative authorities. Under the penal code, it's the police. Under the CMA, it's MCMC. So the question there is sometimes there's a problem because the question is under whose jurisdiction does a complaint come? So for us to avoid this kind of problems and to make sure that all investigations are streamlined, there is a suggestion that all of it should be put under the penal code and, of course, thereafter investigated by the police, which means that it basically comes under one agency and authority. I think that there is merit in that suggestion, and that's what we are reviewing now. Well, of course, we are talking to the police first to see whether or not that's something that is suitable and agreeable to them.
All right, which of course that was Gobind Singh Deo, of course, talking about, I guess, provisions under the Multimedia and Communications Act. Now it comes to our favourite segment, Police Report Watch. So I understand that our Finance Minister, Lim Kuan Eng, is lodging a police report against PAS. What's the story here?
Yep, this is referring to a statement by PAS Treasurer Razman Zakaria, who called the Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, quote-unquote, anti-Malay and anti-rulers for advising party members against accepting honorific titles like datukships and all that. The minister says that he's considering both criminal and legal avenues.
Saya akan minta bahawa laporan polis dibuat ke atas bendahari PAS yang juga Pesuruhjaya PAS di Perak kerana telah tuduh saya sebagai anti-Melayu dan anti-Raja kerana saya nasihatkan saya punya anak-anak buah supaya janganlah bekerja-kerja untuk dapat pangkat datuk. Tapi ini pula diputarbelikan sebagai satu tindakan anti-Raja dan anti-Melayu. Ini nasihat dalam parti kepada pemimpin parti. Dalam parti DAP saja, bukan di luar. Kerana kita nak utamakan perkhidmatan rakyat. Dan kalau nak terima, selepas bersara, terima pun tak lewat. Macam dekat Pulau Pinang, tiga adun yang telah bersara dianugerahkan gelaran Datuk oleh TYT, Gubernur Pulau Pinang. Tapi ini telah diputarbelikan oleh PAS menyatakan bahawa tindakan semikian, nasihat semikian adalah biadab dan anti-Melayu, anti-Raja.
Lim Guan Eng also brought in the example of former Deputy Prime Minister Ghaffar Baba, who rejected honorific titles during his term.
Kalau begitu, macam Encik Ghaffar Baba, semasa menjadi timbalan Perdana Menteri pun tak mahu terima gelaran Datuk, mahu dikenali sebagai Encik Ghaffar Baba. Adakah itu pun dianggap sebagai satu tindakan anti-Raja atau anti-Melayu? Ini adalah sebuah parti yang nampaknya sudah hilang ataupun sudah putus atau hilang modal sampai gunakan perkara yang tak wujud langsung untuk membangkitkan pengusahaan. Nah, itu sesuatu yang tidak bertanggungjawab.
So we've talked about honorifics on the show before.
We have.
I think specifically previously with the stripping of some honorifics from Dato' Sri Najib Razak and his wife.
Correct.
Yes.
And also Tun Dr. Mahathir and his wife. They had a couple of honorifics stripped from them before the elections as well.
Which doesn't really change the honorifics by which we call them, because they have enough to kind of shore it up.
Yes.
But I suppose it is an interesting question whether or not politicians should accept honorifics. I don't know. I mean, during their term anyway. I suppose it's supposed to be a measure of respect in some ways, but it should also be a respect of your body of work, right? I mean, it kind of makes sense to do it after.
Well, no, it does. But also, I think the most important thing to note here is that it isn't actually an insult to the king or the institution. The reasons behind why they said to reject it is because they need to be our politicians need to be reminded that they're servants of the people.
Yes.
And so therefore, you know, when someone gets a Dato' or a Tan Sri title, Malaysia is so hierarchical. What happens? Immediately, there is this subservient culture that settles in, right? You're always like, oh, yeah, Dato'. No, Dato'. Thank you, Dato'. Sorry, Dato'. You know, it just happens, right?
I mean, it comes, I think, even in the language around the addressing of it, right?
Correct.
So it's a difficult one. I mean, let us know what you think. Not necessarily about being anti-Malay or anti-ruler, because I'm not sure there's any substance in that.
No.
But do you think that party members should not accept honorific titles like datuships, at least while they are still, you know, holding official positions? Should they wait for retirement? Let us know.
You know, this is the first time it's actually happened, because usually by the time you rise in ranks in the party high enough to become a minister or something, you've already got a few datuships already.
That's true.
In the previous government,
yes.
Right?
Let us know. 7733-2900 is the number to call. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Tasha, thank you so much for coming in. This has been Popit Popit Parliament. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.